Alright, yo, everybody. Here we are on another episode of the Mind Body Marathon. And today we are live.
Metal Monday officially.
Metal Monday. Live from New York City.
Well, not live.
But you know, recording from New York City. I guess we're always somewhat live, right?
Yeah.
But yesterday was the New York Marathon.
Quick little plug, if you ever come to New York City, Moxie Times Square. Super cute place.
Yes.
You're here for business or pleasure. Lots of like little areas like this one to do some work at. And it's pretty close to all those teas, right by Times Square. Funky vibe. We love it here.
Yeah. And then there's a pretty awesome rooftop bar. What was that called?
The Magic Hour.
Yeah.
And it's good for during the day or evening, nighttime.
Yeah. Really cool spot. Really close to Times Square, but not too busy, not too crazy. So, but either way, yeah, Metal Monday. So, you know, yesterday was the New York Marathon, and
could not have been a more perfect day for it.
It was perfect. It was about 50 and
beautiful,
no wind.
Blue skies.
50 degrees and, you know, completely beautiful blue skies. It was great. Definitely, this is my first marathon in New York City, so my first one, and was very, very pleased. I thought it was a wonderful race, and you know, from anybody that kind of follows me on social media, you know that, you know, it's now a world record for the most finishers ever in a marathon. So
59,300 and something.
Yeah. So a lot of people. So almost 60,000 runners finished this race, and quite impressive. So
yeah.
From a spectating standpoint, what did you think?
I thought it was great. It was, you know, New York has kind of grown on me in the last year plus, like getting to, it used to always just kind of be that place that, oh yeah, it's New York City. It has the hype, you know, worldwide. But I do enjoy coming back here now. It's become a little bit more like familiar to me, and it's like this little bit of like, oh yeah, I'm back here kind of thing. So that was nice to be here, especially having such great weather and the vibe. The weather, like you said, was perfect. It was super easy, a lot easier than I thought as a spectator to kind of maneuver around the city. I thought, you know, 60,000 runners, and you figure if each one of them has one extra spectator, most of them probably have two to three, and they're trying to kind of get everywhere along with the typical New Yorkers that are here, which is obviously a big, busy city to begin with. But I mean, the subways were packed, but I never had to wait for like the next subway or anything like that. I was able to hop out right there in the first stop. That was mile, what, like eight?
Yeah.
And come out of the subway, was right there. I was surprised that, and it wasn't as busy, like against the barricades and stuff to even be able to go up. Every spot that I went to, I was right up front.
Yeah.
I wasn't there hours before. I got there just when I had to kind of get there.
I mean, what's nuts is there's almost 2 million spectators, they estimate. It's absolutely
and
wild.
It didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
Even at Central Park, mile 25, I don't know, you know, you're speedy. You finish in the top, like, what, 3.5%, we were saying?
Yeah, so I was 2,100th place.
Out of 59,000 plus. So I don't know if it gets busier later, but at least when I was there, and again, I didn't get there, you know, the race started at 9:10. I think I got to the first spot about 8:30-ish.
Yeah.
So not super early, and I literally came, and it was plenty of spots still. Like, it was like, oh yeah, there's, I can go right up to the grate. Like, I didn't have to fight anybody, nothing. There was still a good amount.
Yeah,
got
I think
there
that's
just in time to see the elite ladies, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. A record-breaking race for them. What was interesting, though, is from a runner standpoint, yeah, it was crowded the whole time with people cheering. It was like, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 deep pretty much the whole course. But I would say that Brooklyn probably was the coolest spot. Like, the sections from
Beastie Boys would be proud, right? Isn't that where they're from?
From like 2 to like 10, there's a pretty long stretch that you're running basically straight north through Brooklyn once you kind of get off Staten Island off the Verrazano Bridge, which is obviously awesome. It's a great start. You know, it's quiet, obviously, but, you know, it's a wonderful view, and you can see Manhattan skyline. You can see the ocean. You can see pretty much all the cool things. And it wasn't windy or anything. You know, it was just a perfect day. But, like, once you get into Brooklyn, like, they brought the heat, and there was parts of Queens that was nice, and then, you know, obviously once you got up to Harlem, it was pretty crowded too, and then definitely near the finish, but I think Brooklyn was the best spot from a runner standpoint for cheering.
I feel like we've heard that before. My friend Bri mentioned to kind of expect that after the fact, but.
Yeah, it was like you were running through and you're like, dude, if the whole course is like, this is crazy. But I actually found that, you know, a lot of people talk about when you're running from, you know, Queens off the Queensboro Bridge and you kind of get into Manhattan at mile 16, that's also another really crowded spot and very loud and a lot of spectators. And there was definitely a lot of spectators. It was so cool because you can hear the crowd on the bridge. So you're like in the middle of the bridge. And you hear the crowd just roaring and like, you know,
getting
pretty much
louder and louder as you get closer.
Yeah, because you're like the whole race, the crowd is loud. You don't really hear like people coughing and spitting and, you know, doing that kind of stuff. So then once you're on the bridge, it was very quiet. So then people were like yelling on there and they go, woo! And then just like creating all these like different sounds to just like break the silence because it was so awkward.
Not hearing anybody huffing and puffing.
But then, you know, as you got come closer to the bridge, the edge of the bridge, you start to hear the crowd roaring, and then you come off of it. But it wasn't as intense as I thought it would be. But then I look back on it, I'm like, I think that's probably because I was, like, pretty far forward, you know, like, only the 2,000th person to come through. So I think that, like, you know, probably once you get to, like, 10,000 in, that's when they hit their stride, you know.
With the size of the crowd, you mean?
The size of the crowd, yeah.
Now, how does that compare to the drums that you mentioned hearing in Cologne near the bridges?
I mean, I think, like, the style of the U.S. spectators is more like DJs and bands and, it's just different. It wasn't as coordinated, but I would say, you know, very proud to run through New York City, like, because like every borough had their pride. And what the other interesting thing too is, I think they call this the most international race in the world, and you could tell, like, you know, it felt like a very European race because tons of people around me were just speaking other languages, and
that was the same with the spectators too.
Yeah, it was very international, and that was really cool to see. So I was very proud to be an American, and very proud to like have the boroughs come out and just like just bring the energy, and it just made me feel good about, like, you know, people coming in and seeing our country from a different vantage point.
Now, taking it back a couple steps, what'd you think of the expo and, you know, just that whole process? From my perspective, it seemed, one, you couldn't tell with 60,000 runners even there, and even like going to, you know, my experience with the Disney races, it's, you know, like after the expo's been open for 20 minutes, half of the merchandise is gone and you can't buy anything.
Yeah.
And that definitely wasn't the case. There was seemed to be whatever you wanted. We still got a cup. We still got gear. Awesome, cute sweater that I really enjoy by New Balance.
This hat.
So what did you think of that as a runner?
I think the expo is the best one I'd ever been to. It was the biggest. It was, you know, I feel like each vendor had some really cool things to offer. It was very forward-thinking, very trendy in the sense of like what's new, what's next. But it had your staples, you know, like Running Warehouse kind of stuff. But for the most part, it was definitely a really, really awesome venue. And then that Jarvis Center that it's in is awesome.
Yeah, that was really well organized. The flow was good. That was fun how when you were buying your gear, if you were a first-time New York marathoner, they like threw a party for you at the cash register.
Which was a ton of people because there was a ton of first-timers.
So many cowbells and stuff going off at the New Balance registers.
You know, but you brought up a good point. You know, I think that when I called you from the start, from the athletes village from the start, it didn't seem like there was 60,000 runners. But so basically you either take the ferry and then get on a bus to Wadsworth, Fort Wadsworth, or you can take the bus from like Times Square area all the way into Fort Wadsworth, which is what I did. And when you get off the bus, you know, you kind of go through screening, and you know, that obviously can take some time. It's about a half hour to go through screening. So from getting on the bus to getting actually into the village took about 90 minutes. Now, I got on the bus at 5 a.m. My race time was at 9. So by the time I got there, it was 6:30. But, you know, once I was in the village, using the bathroom, standing in the line for porta potties, all that sort of stuff, like, time really did fly by. But what was funny is I was like, yeah, it doesn't really seem that busy. But I was so naive. Like, I was only just in the orange section, and there was like four different sections for like the different color bibs, and I didn't even really realize that. So right at the last minute, I had to run all the way to the blue section to get into the race, which was quite a far ways away from where I was actually standing most of the time. So they break up the athletes' village really well, and they separate by color. You should read the signs and not be like me. And they separate by color really well, so it doesn't feel overwhelming, and like there's plenty of porta potties, there's plenty of spaces to go.
Now, do they have porta urinals though?
Like, no, they don't have that.
Those were really interesting to see in Cologne.
Yes, and that would have been a smart move.
Open air porta urinals. We were like, what are those?
But there was plenty of woods, and so, you know, now, males took care of that however they needed to.
Another tidbit of info that we found out last minute, and then we were kind of scrambling, is you can't check a bag once you're at Athlete Village, correct?
Yeah, you have to check a bag like a day or two in advance to have it at the finish line. Basically, anything you take to the start line, it's kind of like Boston.
It's with you for the race.
It's with you for the race. So it's the same in Boston. So like, basically just take clothes you're going to donate. I had a rain poncho. And then I had, the day before, we bought some souvenir, like, sweater and pants, and, you know, like, $20 souvenir, sweater and pants, and then just threw those into the donation bin. I was perfectly fine in terms of, like, being comfortable with that, but, like, you know, a lot of times at marathons, they'll give you, like, the blanket at the end, the aluminum blanket thing, so
those
keep those.
So nice.
So keep those and literally wear that right on your body, and then all you really need is a sweatshirt on top of it, and you're going to be just fine. The buses were, like, really warm, so, like, once you get on the bus, you're safe, you know, you're good. But then, like, when you're obviously in the Athletes Village, it's a little bit cooler as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, I don't really think, if you have people watching you, you don't really have to, like, check a bag to the finish line unless you, like, are kind of solo. It was great. It was really well organized, like, once you finish in terms of, like, getting to meet a person. I feel like that was a really good experience as well. They do make you walk a lot once you finish, though.
Yeah.
You're walking, like, I think I walked a mile. You finish a race and you're charging.
Chicago kind of does the same thing, though. I remember that.
Yeah.
Finishing Chicago, like, you finish and then it was just, like, forever until I could meet up with my friend Carrie.
Yeah.
And walking through the chute and athlete-only section and all that, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was also crazy to see the pictures that you sent me with the snipers. I mean, it's nice that they have that thought through and they have the security. It's sad that that's the world we live in, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
there's snipers on the
helicopters.
Dude,
and snipers,
oh my God,
all around.
There's helicopters everywhere, like NYPD helicopters. Like, there's definitely was a presence of, like, yeah.
Well, even waiting for you as a spectator, we would see that, like, before the elites, both the women and the men, came up, like, before we saw the lights and the cars, we would hear the helicopters up above. So,
yeah.
Which could also be news copters.
Yeah, yeah. As for the course itself, if, you know, any of you have never run it before, the first mile is 100% uphill. If you're on the top part of the bridge, you do gain 50 more feet versus if you're on the bottom part of the bridge. Mm-hmm. And they do separate it pretty well in terms of, like, where your corral is. So kind of just know that in advance. I mean, I think the top part's probably cooler, even though you gain 50 more feet, but you get 50 feet back on the way down. So that's one way to look at it. But it's just cooler. The views are just cooler. You know, you're on the top of the bridge and you just, you know, especially if it's a clear blue day like it was yesterday. And then, you know, the first mile's uphill and then, but pretty much the rest of the course, about 800-900 feet of elevation gain. I would say there's really no, like, hard hills in the course. There's just a lot of, like, graduals. Like, pretty much the whole time you're running, you're either looking at the crowd gradually going up or you're looking at the crowd gradually going down. There's, like, very few sections that are, like, genuinely flat.
By the time you get to mile, like, 15, though, those graduals feel like...
They do, like, when you're heading towards...
They feel like Heartbreak Hill.
When you're coming from Harlem and you cross over Harlem River, so you do a little loop in Harlem, 20-ish miles, then you're coming back into Manhattan towards Central Park. That is a long section back of gradual up, and that's pretty much when I was like, all right, this is kind of getting
WTF.
Old. And then once you get into, you know, Central Park, then you do go down Cat Hill, kind of the famous Central Park Hill. But then you have some rollers through there that kind of drain your legs a little bit as well. So another interesting thing is once you enter Central Park, you run for like a mile-ish, And then you exit again over by Park Plaza. Then you enter again about a half mile later, and then you have the finish about a quarter mile from that. So it's kind of like a little bit of an odd in and out through the park at the end. So if you were just expecting once you enter the park, you're going to finish in the park, no, you actually still got to go out and then go on the main road, which is very fan-filled and very high energy anyways. So it's no harm there. And this, the finish does kind of sneak up on you a little bit because it is around the turn. So, you know, obviously if you've got a GPS, you know it's coming up soon. And you'll hear the crowd. The grandstands were really loud. But you really don't see the finish until you're probably about 200 meters away from it. So you kind of turn a corner and like, boom, there it is. And so you kind of start doing your finish line celebration. So that was kind of cool as well.
I did see a sign on the course as I was walking to meet up with you because I was waiting for you like right around mile 25-ish, I think it was. Or just past 25, where it'd say like 800 meters to go, like an official marathon sign. So that's nice because it gives you the runner a little bit
that.
Of a... I have a picture of it to prove it existed. So the New York Road Runners Club did have that in mind for you guys.
Yeah.
I think one of the coolest moments collectively that was interesting to see, because I feel like running has definitely become way more like mainstream than, you know, when I was like 20 years ago, like I said, I used to live in Boston, and I didn't even know the Boston Marathon was a thing for I don't know how many years until like after I started running.
That's so crazy.
So it was interesting though to be in this big crowd. We never see anybody there or watching runners, but even as you hear, like, you know, like you might have a family member or a friend that's running, but like even the conversations that I would hear in the subway or walking, you know, between those different spots. A lot of people don't necessarily know a lot about running still. It's still not, you know, it's not like football or basketball where people can kind of just like shoot the shit a little bit and navigate through that. But it was interesting to see this collective crowd right before the elite men were coming up. You know, we were seeing the police cars coming up, so we knew they were coming. And just like the awe and presence of all of them, but especially Kipchoge. Like, there were so many people around me, and I remember it was like this collective awesome moment of everybody just kind of like holding their breath as they all ran by, and then like everybody's recording and commenting. Actually, they weren't really commenting, they were just more like I said, just like kind of in awe. And then as they finished, like this collective sigh and everybody just being like, wow, like it was just impressive to see that so many people recognize like that was special, that we just witnessed They were so huddled together, and he was right at the front. And
most people have never seen somebody legitimately run like a 4:30 mile on an open road. And when you actually see that and how easy they make it look.
They were all like, and I mean, it was just all of them together. And like you said, like you might have thought they were going like a 10-minute jog pace.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's and this is, you know, what I talk about a lot with a lot of my running form stuff is like there are principles of physics that they have just honed in on to make every foot strike so economical and so efficient that they're using such little energy versus like, you know, even if you just wait 15 minutes later, you can see everybody's working so much harder against themselves, including myself. Like, you know, watching myself videos of running nowadays, it's like I look so bad compared to what I feel like internally. And it's like I just know I'm not checking the boxes on like efficiency like I should. But it's wild when you see, you know, actually how fast they are and how easy they make it look up front. Yeah. It is very impressive.
But it was really cool. It was just cool to have like a lot of common day people. Like it's not like you're talking to a bunch of coaches or whatever. And just like I said, that after they all pass, like we all just kind of let out this collective sigh and we're just all amazed. And it was just such a cool energy, which in general I felt, you know, New York gets a bad rap. I grew up in Massachusetts, so, you know, Mass holds for Boston and all of that. But it was interesting because over the summer I did an acting course and was talking to an Ohioan who's born and raised in Ohio, is living back in Ohio now, but lived in New York for over a decade because they were in the arts. And he made the comment how like he actually kind of would rather raise kids in New York. Him and his wife are having this argument right now because he kind of would rather have a family and raise them in New York versus Ohio, because he's like, you know, Ohio people are nice, but not. And then he's like, New Yorkers are not nice, but they are. And I totally got what he meant, because it's like everybody's very intentional and purposeful, and they're like, you know, have like their blinkers on kind of thing, their blinders on to get to where they have to go. But if they see an issue or like that collectiveness of living in a building and more of like a watching out for each other's back, you know, he's like, if I'm trying to go down the subway with a stroller, a New Yorker will just grab the stroller and help me out. He's like, the Ohioan will smile at me and then like let me keep going.
Yeah.
And it's so true. And I saw that yesterday. Like, you know, I made the comment how because I came off the subway and there was open spots right there, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to snag these. So I didn't get coffee like I had planned on it. And then in between the elites and, you know, there was nothing really happening until after the male elite is where a lot more of like the normal trickling runners started to come through. Me and this late girl next to me were chatting a little bit. They're local New Yorkers. They were just there to kind of generally watch the race kind of thing. And then before they left, she's like, oh, do you want me to grab you a cup of coffee before, like, I'll bring you something back? And it's like, that's what, you know, that's exactly what he means. Like, New Yorkers are not nice, but they are. Yeah. And it was just nice to see that every spot that I had, people going out of their way to just be helpful, help you get up front. I had people that were cheering for you to help get your attention. Yeah. And
yeah. And the one time for sure that I heard their voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. I think, and I'm glad you had that experience, you know, with good spectating and having people support you in that way. But I think New York does kind of get a little bit of a bad rap with that, but it's...
Well, I think it's just, like I said, it's people here are busy and most of them are very driven and, you know, no matter what you do for a living here, you're either working 2-3 different jobs to make your dreams come, you know, like you have your real jobs while you're trying, your 9-to-5s while you're trying to lift off whatever other pursuits that the city offers, right? If you're in the arts or trying to model or whatever. Or you're here as a business person hustling and it is expensive to be here. So most people either have really demanding 9-to-5s or they're juggling 2-3 jobs trying to make their dreams happen. So they're very intentional, they're very busy, but you know, if they see something, I think they do collectively kind of like that community of, again, living in a building versus houses and things like that. You just see more, hear more, and you're more willing to kind of jump in. So
a couple of side notes, heading back to the race, a couple of side notes that's really interesting is right at the finish, you get a poncho.
Which was so nice.
Which is extremely awesome.
It's totally going to be stealing it for soccer games.
It's like a legit, like, you know, rain, warm poncho.
Waterproof,
that has like
flan on the inside.
New York Marathon logo right on the back, and you get to keep it. Like, when they gave it to me, I'm like, oh, cool, I must be giving this back. Like,
before, you know, I walk out of somewhere.
No, you get to keep it. Like, it's crazy.
59,000 runners.
It's literally like, it's like if you watch a football game and they have the ponchos on, like when it's like cold and rain, that's literally what it's like. It's unreal. Yeah. So you get that, so that's really cool. The other thing too is, you know, the New York or nowhere stuff gear is really awesome. A lot of the New Balance stuff is really awesome.
They actually also gave you a little cinch bag at the end.
Yeah.
Which was really nice quality too.
Yeah, so like a lot of things you'll get for free, but the Expo has a lot of really cool gear as well, like a lot of really unique stuff.
Oh, you can get your shocks. If you like shocks, you can get those engraved with your name on it, which I took advantage of that for myself.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. And
my name's never on anything, so anytime I can get anything personalized, I'm like a 3-year-old. Yes, please put my name on this. Like, I'm going to preschool.
That's funny. Well, but also make sure, which we're going to do later, also make sure to buy a New York Times, because if you finish a race, your name will be in the paper. And, you know, of course, it'll be, you know, all highlighted and things like that with a, you know, New York Marathon, because it's such a big deal. So that's another thing to kind of keep in mind. I would say, if we're comparing it to the other majors in the U.S., Boston and Chicago, I would say this one was probably my favorite from the spectating standpoint, meaning like the crowds were just the thickest, the uniqueness of the course. You do genuinely like get the feel of every borough. You run through some parts of New York you would never normally go, like through parts of Queens and Brooklyn that are really nice, really awesome. Most people come to just sort of Manhattan when they experience New York, but like Harlem, Queens, Brooklyn had some really cool spots to, like, you know, just hang out. Staten Island, you're obviously not on for a long time. You're just in the Fort Wadsworth area, and then you just hop on the Verrazano. But Queens and Brooklyn were cool. You know, like, it was just a different side of New York you wouldn't normally see, in Harlem as well. I would say, obviously, it's not a fast course. It's a little bit of a rhythm breaker course. You could, it is, I think it is actually faster than, it can be faster than Boston. Boston can be fast if it has a tailwind, but I think it's a little bit harder of a course, especially when the hills sort of come, you know, later in the race.
Wait, right, which one is harder?
Boston. Because the hills come later in the race, right around mile 20. But here the hills are sort of just broken up a little bit throughout the course. So that's a little easier to handle, a little easier to swallow throughout the race. Chicago obviously takes the case for being the fastest of the three. But Chicago's crowds are cool, but I think the crowds here definitely beat Boston, and Chicago comes pretty close to them. So
I really liked Chicago when I ran that.
Yeah.
It was the day that I ran it was perfect weather, kind of like for you yesterday, and it had great crowd support, like you said.
Yeah.
So that was a good race that I remember really
liking. I think if you come to New York to do the New York Marathon, you're coming to New York to be in New York and to experience New York. Not so much because it's like such a cool and unique race, but more because you're coming to experience another side of New York and just experience the city itself. Whereas if you're going to Chicago or Boston, you might be going for the race itself. So this race felt like literally a tour of this city. And I feel like, which is different than like leaning into like making the race fast or making the race unique, like Boston or Chicago might do.
The other thing I really liked about yesterday that I thought they did a great job with was the after party.
Yeah.
That was really fun that they had the winners there. So it was cool to get to hear from, you know, the top female and male winner and just kind of just get to have them address the crowd
yeah.
and things like that, as well as for the wheelchair participants, which is insane that the male wheelchair guy has, Marcel, is that his name?
Yeah.
He's won 7 times.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Yeah, I mean, New York Roadrunners does a really good job of creating a great atmosphere for support for the race, and you know, just the amount of money behind this race and the amount of infrastructure and timing and planning and everything. I mean, it's a behemoth of an event to have a start line separate from the finish line, unlike Chicago, which is relatively the same, and then to be double the size of Boston and do that is absolutely bananas.
And that was a thought I had yesterday a couple different times, especially like at the end when I was walking back, because so much of Broadway and then like Central Park West and stuff is all blocked off, you know, and not even for the running course, but they had it blocked off just for spectators to be able to cross the streets back and forth, like a huge chunk of it. And there was that moment of like, just like, again, like, especially in light of everything going on in the world around us right now, everything going on in this country, there was a couple of times where I'm like, this is so cool, like that things like this can still bring people together.
Yeah.
That we can see that us humans can kind of forget boxes and labels and just collectively be together for a great purpose and, you know, for joy and accomplishment and just support of people. And it's impressive to think of, even on a Sunday, you know, how busy, because like yesterday there was a Knicks game, you know, Sabrina Carpenter had 5 sold out shows right here in Madison Square Garden this week, I think it's all this week.
But
I don't
notice it.
No.
Don't notice that there was 60,000 runners extras.
Like, and it's just like impressive nothing. That the city was willing to shut down like that for this purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it's just really cool that that as a society, we still see the importance of all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you go to Chicago, you go to Boston and some other major marathons, and there's definitely a pulse that there's an influx of runners. And here,
if
like,
you can't tell.
It's just a blip.
Yeah.
it's pretty phenomenal.
And it's so cool to hear, again, just what running, challenging yourself, doing something that's hard intentionally, how much that is valued and respected, and how people are willing to do that to themselves. At the end, at the 25-mile marker, I was standing next to this family, and the dad, I don't know if it's his first ever race, I'm going to assume not based on the feat that he was doing, that he's probably a regular runner to some capacity, but, and I didn't even catch his name, we didn't even exchange names or anything, but he just finished cancer treatment like a week ago, was his last treatment, and he found out he was diagnosed after getting in, and everybody knows it's impossible to get into New York, and so once you do, you don't blow that opportunity, and so he kept training and wanted to see what he was going to do, and he was probably around like a 310, 315 pace.
So impressive.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
And again, you just walk away from that like just renewed, and like human beings are amazing people when we lean into the good aspects of ourselves.
Yeah, and then another thing to consider, so a month ago I ran Yeah, that's a, yeah. That was an amazing story, by the way. I just told. But yeah, a month ago I ran Cologne. Super flat race, great race, really fast course, and I ran 2:59. And then this is a harder course, I would say. Logistics, quite a bit more going on, and I ran 2:58.
A lot more going on. Cologne was what, like 10 a.m. start?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were up at like 4 to start running at 9.
So the thing, what I would say is, you know, you can run decent here. You know, it's not an impossibly hard course. There is a lot of people around you. You're pretty much, you know, elbow to elbow the whole time. That's fine. It doesn't feel that crazy because the roads are really wide, all that sort of stuff. But do not, I heard a lot of people talking about this, like, do not be afraid of the logistics of this. So many people make it out to be more than it is. Like, it's pretty streamlined, honestly. They're just like, probably just stay like somewhere near Times Square. Just get on the bus and go to Fort Wadsworth. Like, it's just that easy. I probably wouldn't take the ferry unless you're down in the financial district near the ferry, because then you got to get on the bus again to get to the actual race start. I would just get on the bus, like right near Times Square. I mean, it really was not, as in Bryant Park, it's not that complicated. And then it's actually seemed almost a little bit more streamlined than Boston, actually. And so, you know, don't let the size of this race and the craziness of the city like overwhelm you. It's very streamlined and very seamless. So if you haven't ever done New York, please consider it. It's
start
definitely
putting yourself in the lottery now.
Just try year after year, because like you just don't know if you're going to get in. And it's definitely a worthy race to do.
It even had me thinking about it for about a minute and a half. And then I was like, oh, wait, but it is 26 miles of running.
So any final points?
No, I think whether you choose to come, even if you come one time first to spectate, I think it's definitely a race. It is its whole own culture, and it's definitely worth experiencing it either as a spectator and specifically as a runner at least once.
Yeah, I would say that as well. So, and thanks again for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out. And if you know anybody that's considering doing New York for the first time or is doing New York for the first time, then please share this episode with them, because there's some good tidbits in there. And I think for you yourself, if you haven't done it before and you're listening, you should definitely consider it. Thank you. Dr. Leo here. Be sure to check out my new book, Faster Without Fail: Your Guide to Overcoming Injuries and Running Faster Than Ever. It is now available on Amazon. You could read reviews on the Amazon. You can check out what other people have said about it. But basically, if you want to revolutionize your running form and better understand how to stay injury-free within the sport, this is your guide. Feel free to reach out and let us know what you think of the book. I would love to hear your feedback. But again, please check it out on Amazon. Faster Without Fail. Appreciate it. Dr. Leo here. If you want to catch me in another setting, be sure to check out my YouTube page, Running Rehab, where you will find exercises on how to stay healthy with running, how to improve your running form, and a bunch of other tips and tricks on how to get over common injuries.